What's up, world, and welcome back to the Vibes and Stuff podcast, where hip-hop heads discuss hip-hop topics. On this episode, the crew and myself will be reviewing the latest album from Bruiser Wolf, entitled My Story, God Stories. We'll discuss what we liked about the album, our critiques, our favorite five tracks, and give the LP a final 1 to 10 rating. So please, kick back and enjoy the show.
What's good, Spook? You still on mute?
All right, there we go.
What's going on, my brother?
Maintaining, doing what I can.
Hear that? Yeah, I'm the family.
They're doing good. I have no idea where my wife took our daughter to, but she gave me a break, so I'm good.
Hey, man. Yeah, I don't complain in those situations.
Yeah, today I've been a superhero, a doctor, and a boss. All things that she wanted to do. So I'm glad to be like just sitting down.
I'm sure. Oh man. Hey man, I you sent that text message with that attachment earlier. I had the Mike's Cakes face when I was in a funeral when I opened the text message. I had to put my phone down. Oh, whoa.
My bad.
I was like, "That's me, that DJ." Oh man. So we still Jamil. I'm assuming he'll patch in at some point. But man, let's get right into it, man. For the month of February, man, I've been trying to give the listeners a little something extra with these album reviews, these little quickie episodes where we do album reviews. And man, like 2024 so far has been delivering the goods, man. So, you know, fortunately for us, you know, so we've got some quality stuff to review. But let's get into it, man. The first album we are going to dive into this afternoon will be the album by Bruiser Wolf, the new album from Bruiser Wolf. He's an MC from Detroit. He's fairly new. And the title of his album is My Story Got Stories. And this is his second studio album. It was released on Bruiser Brigade Records. It clocks in at 14 songs and 37 minutes and was produced by Raffy, Harry Fraud, and EJ Beats. And features guest appearances from Z Loopers, Danny Brown, Fat Ray, Stretch Money, Trinidad James, and Chris Kratt. All right. So, welcome, Jamil.
What's happening?
What's going on? I see this album resonated with someone. But let's get into it, man. What was you all's first exposure to Bruiser Wolf, first of all?
I had not heard of him until he was on, at least not that I recognized, until he was on that last Danny Brown album. Like, I'm sure I've heard him before, but that was the first time it clicked as to recognizing who dude was.
Okay. What about you, Nick?
Honestly, I think it was when y'all were talking about him. Like, I don't really remember hearing about this dude even from the early Bruiser Brigade days. So, yeah, that was my first time hearing about him.
Okay. I think I first heard him on actually Blockhead's last album, The Ox. They had a track, I think it's called now, that's what I call a posse cut, Volume 56. And he was one of the MCs on there. And he actually had a pretty decent verse because I had only heard him on one other song, and that was on Danny Brown's Quaranta album. And the track was okay, but when I heard him on the Blockhead album, it was like he was rapping over a way saucier beat, and it fit his flow a lot better than the other track I had heard him on the Quaranta album. So that's really been my first and only exposure to this dude. I know he's down with Danny Brown. Danny's always plugging him on his podcast and, you know, telling people to check him out. So that was, you know, that's how I got familiar with the name. But let's get into this album, man. My Story Got Stories, man. Jamil, I give it up to you first, man. What were your thoughts on this album? How did it sit with you after a few listens?
This one had to grow on me, honestly. Like, the production caught my ear right away. But when I first started hearing him rap, I guess I just didn't remember him from the Quaranta album. And I was like, wait, let me double check. Is this nigga named Bruiser Shark? Because this sounds like somebody else. did I play Sugar Free by mistake? Like, what happened? And so I wasn't really with it initially. His cadence and his vocal tone are not the type of MC that I tend to gravitate toward initially, but I was like, I gotta listen to it because, you know, we're gonna review it, so let me give it a fair shake. And I did. Then I caught one of the one-liners and it made me go all the way back to the beginning, like, hold on, let's start this over from a different perspective and see what's happening. When that man said, I got the white girl doing hot yoga. I'm like, wait a minute. Are we selling drugs to the community here?
You're right.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Like, I had you pegged all wrong, Bruiser Wolf.
My bad. And so from that point, I changed my perspective. He's still not like the type of MC that I tend to go for, but I put him in the same category I put like E-40. He's entertaining to me, and he definitely got bars that like will raise your eyebrow, which I appreciate. He's definitely not the, you know, lyrical miracle dude as is the popular term currently, but it's slick talk, and the production was more than solid, I would say. Really, I got only a few critiques with the whole project. Sequencing again, I don't know what it is with these rappers and not knowing how to close their albums out, but this has been a consistent thing for the last few albums, honestly. That and then one other track, with the one with Chris Crack, actually.
You didn't like that one?
Nah, I get where he was trying to go with that.
They all crack cocaine.
That was the hook was dope. The hook was dope. But it felt to me like, you know, this was his way of doing a little bit of introspection and being serious and like, yo, this is, you know, this is my life. This is kind of what I did to survive. And normally those type of tracks grab me, and this one just it just didn't fit. It felt like, I don't know, his delivery kind of betrayed the seriousness of the message. So it was kind of confusing to my ear. I was like, I didn't need this one.
Gotcha. Okay. But you said the production overall was impressive.
I thought it was pretty solid, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. All right, Nick, man, I'm really anxious to hear what you thought of this album once you gave it a run through. Like, you know, we mentioned two MCs actually that he sounds like who are from the West Coast. So I take it you're probably a little better initiated with this type of flow, maybe. I don't know. But how did the album hit you?
The whole time I was like, don't say Bruiser Wolf first. Don't say Bruiser Wolf first, because I only got through half of it.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, I only got up to the Stretch Money record and then my time just ran out. But what I was listening to, like, I had a lot of fun with, like... I put this in the chat that Bruiser Wolf is the Friday to Griselda's Menace to Society, in the way that Bruiser Wolf kind of presents this lifestyle is like, hey, there are actually some funny moments to this stuff. It's not all death and destruction, and you know, like how Friday was like, yeah, like all these hood movies are you know, showing, you know, that nothing but death and stuff happens out here, but there's some funny stuff that happens out here too. So
yeah,
he definitely like has an influence from like Sugar Free and E-40. And I just wanted to correct myself. The first time I actually heard about Bruiser Wolf was from the Dad Bod Rap Pod when they interviewed him.
And, okay.
And after I heard that, then I listened to some of the stuff, because they, you know, them being from the Bay Area, they were instantly like, yeah, he reminds us of all these Bay Area cats, rapping Forte, E40, like all kinds of Bay Area cats. And I listened and it was just like, oh yeah, this dude definitely sounds like them. Like, it's like an East Coast version of that. But the whole time I'm listening to the songs and I'm just like, oh man, I would love it for him to hop on the track with 40, but somebody would have to let 40 know that he's not like, he's not joking on his style or making fun of it. Like, that's just how his style is. Like, you know, cause yeah, Bay Area cats may have a certain style that people may joke about, but it's not a joke to them. Like, it's not funny.
Ask Rasheed Wallace.
Exactly. I was just about to say, ask Rasheed Wallace. Unfortunately, you can't ask Biggie, but, you know, the rumor was that Biggie said something sideways about E40 in The Source, and he had a show out in Sacramento that turned out to actually be a setup.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and they had to get them on the phone to talk to piece it out. And so, you know, that's just a little West Coast history / possible mythological stuff, but we don't know. But because E40 sure ain't admitting to that today.
Nah, he better not.
He'd be dumb to do that.
Yeah, but yeah, the metaphors he's using, like deliver the boy and girl like a midwife and stuff like that, that had me cracking up. I was just like, oh my goodness, like like, I definitely wouldn't want my kids listening to this because this is going to make them want to sell drugs to the community.
It sounds like fun.
It sounds like, you know, some carnival type stuff. So, you know, but yeah.
Eating cotton candy and selling drugs to the community. Like, it's a good time.
Yeah, and the Looney Tunes track had me dying. I just want to talk real quick about Too Bad.
I was wondering if somebody was going to bring that song up.
Too Bad is so confusing to me because the Bay Area and Detroit are basically cousins. Mm-hmm. So when I hear that beat, I hear a Bay Area beat. But other people hear that beat and they hear a Detroit beat. And how their MCs kind of rap off beat to stuff like that. Like, you know, MCs out here will rap off beat to stuff like that. It's very weird because it's like the Bay Area and Detroit are in two different parts of the country. Bay Area doesn't have winters like Detroit. Detroit doesn't have summers like the Bay Area. And yet there's this kinship between the two that is just really, like, is really interesting. Like, you know, MC Breed used to hang out with Pac when Pac was living out in the Bay. You know, like, if you hear Ain't No Future in Your Front, and that's a West Coast beat, definitely. But, you know, and for the longest time, I thought that was a West Coast artist, but Breed is from Flint, Michigan. You know, so, like, it's very interesting, the kinship between Detroit and the Bay Area, and it's specifically the Bay. It's not Detroit and LA, it's Detroit and the Bay Area.
Yes.
And so, like, that beat, it was confusing because I'm in my head, I'm like, this is a Bay Area beat, and it's like, but you got all these Detroit artists on it, this is a Detroit beat. And in my head, it's like my head's about to explode. I'm doing like rocket science in my head to try to figure this out.
But, yeah, you know, when that track came on, it gave me whiplash because the first beat was just so saucy and soulful and lush, and then that beat comes on and it's very hyper, or I guess you could call it hyphy. Is that
it's kind of
you put that under the hyphy label.
I would say it's more like if hyphy was made today, because hyphy definitely didn't sound like that. Like, hyphy was very energetic and stuff, but like you had to rap on beat to hyphy beats. Like you there was no way you could rap off beat to a hyphy beat unless you were like Keek the Sneak sometimes. But the beats nowadays, like, I would say they are like hyphy now, but they're definitely not that much like hyphy back then.
Okay. Yeah, I was not feeling Z Loopers on that track at all. I was about to hit the fast forward button on this until Bruiser came in and kind of saved it. And yes. Then Danny Brown did what he did. Now, Danny Brown sounded at home on the beat.
Bro.
Yeah, he did.
Danny Brown floated on that joint. I was like, we need to get him in the studio with some Bay Area producers, like, because he floated on that. I was like in shock.
I kind of want to hear an album with Danny and Bruiser now.
Yeah, like a Watch the Throne type of thing, like,
except good.
Yeah. Watch the Throne, but the throne is the couch in the middle of the hood in The Wire. Like,
man, so
that,
like,
that actually would be a dope. I'm just picturing this whole rollout because you could actually call it Watch the Throne.
Wait, call it what? You said
Watch the Throne. Watch the Throne. This was like instead of putting the R in there, you could completely like take that motif. You know, niggas is lazy in their speech.
Yeah.
Watch the Throne. Yeah.
I thought you meant Watch the Thong. That's what I thought you were saying at first. Oh.
Which they're also known for in Detroit. So
indeed, and the Bay.
Bay.
Mm-hmm. Very.
Actually, I honestly think the through line for that, with that all kidding aside, is Pimpin'. I really do think that is the connection between the two.
Yeah, I would say so. It's definitely still a thing It's still a thing out here. It's still a thing out there. You know, it's more known by its not so sexy phrase, which is trafficking.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Can I still traffic humans in the community?
Can I still traffic humans in the community? No. Trafficking would be wrong.
Yo, I gotta say, man, I love this album from jump. Like, soon as I put it in, first track comes on, and he's hitting you with these little pimpish one-liners right away. Yeah. Rats should be charged with espionage, and I'm very, what do you say? I share with others. All y'all can have it. Like, these little, like, one-liners just catch me. It catches you at the right time always. And he always throws out enough of them to keep your attention and it makes you laugh, but it also opens up like his world to you. You know, he's very irreverent. This album is very ignorant. It celebrates ignorance, but it's so entertaining. You know, his voice inflections, the hooks, on the very first song with Let the Young Boys Eat, that hook he hits you with, like, excuse me, the hook on Crack Cocaine, the hook on Dope Boy. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to see this album perform live. And like, I would love to see him perform this live. You know, you can tell I'm a dope boy. Don't tell, I'm a dope
boy.
Don't
tell, I'm a dope boy.
Boy, like my first toy was a scale. Like, I had no choice.
I had no choice, boy.
But he's got quotables galore, you know. And you know, there is a fair amount of misogyny on one particular track, but like, he still makes it clever, you know. And I believe y'all know the track I'm talking about. All the Dinosaurs Can't Wait to Try Ceratop.
Like, oh, yeah. Dogs.
So this was probably the thing that I enjoyed the most out of this. And just on a personal note, it represents growth for me, because a younger me would not have appreciated this at all. Absolutely. Just because of how simple the language that he uses is. I was always the type that was impressed with, you know, all of these like multisyllabic flows and, you know, niggas stretching their vocabularies. And I've come to appreciate a lot more, like, you know, you can get the same impact. The words themselves don't have to be long. It's just, what are you doing with the language? And he absolutely freaks it with you know, more simplistic use of language. But his flow is not simple at all. Like, his bars are definitely very, very thoughtful. And I can appreciate that kind of dichotomy with the ignorance and the intelligence within it. like I'm here. That was right up my alley. What Charlie Murphy said, that was mad niggerish. It was right up my alley.
Right up my alley. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I agree with you, Jamil. Like 20-year-old me, shoot, like me 10 years ago probably wouldn't have given this a chance. Like, oh, he's just rapping about selling drugs and being a pimp. But like, you know, it's the album is so much more than that, honestly.
It really is.
You know, it begs for repeated listens, because every time I listen to this, I pick up something new. And I can't wait to hear what Bruiser Wolf has up his sleeve in the near future. He makes art out of the absurd. And I appreciate that about him. Yeah. He sounds like, and like you all said, he sounds like an old school pimp, an old school Detroit hustler. But like, but when you actually want to hang with, you know, right. Like, he may or may not be trafficking humans, but you know, he's a cool guy to be around. You know, I remember one of my guys back in the day used to study with, used to have a Bible study with a pimp who lived in Augel Gardens. His name, what was his name? I think his name was Rucci or something. But he wore nothing. He usually just wore blue, and he had his name embroidered like in like the finest stitching in his suits, like in his suit coats and pants. It was, man, it was the most out of this world thing. And like, but to hear an actual pimp talk, it is a sight to behold. Like, it's like they got a saying for everything, and it's like I see how they get in the minds of, like, you know, weak-minded people, and then you add some flash and cash in the equation, it's like, man, okay, I see how this dude has a stable. And like, this dude Bruiser Wolf, man, he got a mouthpiece on him. Pause. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's got some slick talk. Whip rock and boiling pots, sip yak like it's boiling hot. You know, favorite. Talking in circles. Alcoholics Anonymous. You know,
Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. My favorite, which is the one I'm repping currently. Say my name rang out like I'm calling you. FaceTime, boy. You better watch who you talking to. bro. I have my neighbors looking at me crazy because I happened to have just parked my car, and he said that, and I was sitting in my car like belly laughing at that. I had to sit there for about 3 minutes. Like, what is this nigga up to? Like, uncontrollably laughing at that one.
He said pride comes before the fall. I thought the summer did.
That's what I'm saying, like simplistic ignorance, like yeah, or I'm elevated innocent, ignorance. But I guess is what I mean.
A guilty. When the cops came, what he said? The cops came in, said me and a white girl were more than friends. you know, just oh man, just line after line. It's quotables galore, man, with this album. But the other thing that stuck to me was the production. You know, the production was very sample heavy. I thought there were a couple of misfires production wise, but then when I went back and listened to them, I'm like, okay, this ain't as bad as I thought it was on the initial listen. Like for instance, we already talked about Too Bad, but him and Danny Brown actually saved that track. I didn't care too much for Skywalking. At first I didn't care about Waiting in the Lobby, but Waiting in the Lobby kind of grew on me. Like, he was rapping about, you know, waiting for his son to be born. Mm-hmm. You know, which is something I'm sure we could all relate to, but that one even grew on me. And then, was that the only one? I think that was it as far as like just production misfires. Like, at first I didn't like Looney Tunes, but like the more I listened to it, I'm like, okay, I actually kind of mess with this track a bit. Even the Trinidad James joint, I messed with. Maybe because of the way
he definitely has a grow on you talent.
Yeah.
And just the way the track starts off, too. It's like, white girl in the corner. White girl in the corner.
Oh, I didn't get to that point. I got it.
Oh, man. That's a good one.
Yeah, you're missing out. It's definitely treats on the back end of this album.
Yeah, I even like the... You talked about the album closer, Jamil. I actually did not have a problem with the album closer Before the Fall. I thought he had some slick one-liners in that, and like that very mournful jazz horn at the very end that just like just ends the track and then thusly the album very well. And just man, it was a such, this was such an easy listen. This was like some smooth cognac, man. Like, you know, if I had to compare
it, I would call it smooth cognac. I think this is like E&J XO.
E&J XO ain't bad.
That's what I'm saying, but it's not what you're reaching for right away.
It's not the finest of cognacs, but it'll get you there with minimum fuss.
This is precisely what I'm saying. That's why I use that as the example. It's not the $1,000 bottle, but it's better than you might think based on the label.
Exactly. All right, gentlemen. Well, Nick, if you feel comfortable giving it a score, but on a scale from 1 to 10, what would you all give Bruiser Wolf's My Story Got Stories?
So this is going to sound crazy when I say it, because of how much I enjoyed it, but I'm going to give it a 7.5.
All right.
And the reason why is it does take some growing to get to it. Like, you almost need a disclaimer to get into it, and you have to kind of have the right frame of mind. If I just told somebody, hey, yo, check this out, without prepping them for it, I don't think you're going to get very much out of it. And that's where it's a bit of a miss. But within the proper context, like, it's a really good piece of work. Also, for it to be that short, you can't have no skips. Yeah. And there's definitely some fat to be trimmed on that, which is crazy to say because the album is less than 40 minutes. So that dropped the score a little bit for me.
Yeah, I was surprised that I only started listening to this after I had to make like a quick trip down the street and come back. And I was pretty shocked that I finished like half the album in that trip.
Right.
Like, I thought that I was like, oh man, I might actually be able to finish this. Like, it's very, very, like, you know, it has 14 tracks, but I don't really think, I mean, from what I heard, only one of them was longer than like 2 minutes. Like, so if it continued like that, then yeah, it's a pretty brisk listen. And when you have something like that, you can't have skip.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm gonna go ahead, I'm gonna give this album a 8.5 out of 10. I love the production. Even the tracks that did not hit me right away grew on me. You know, there's still one or two skips on the whole album, but I mean, out of 14 tracks, to have 2 skips at the most is not that bad. I can't wait to see what this guy does in the future. Like, I don't know if this is the style and the content he's always going to take on with his releases, or if he's going to branch out and start commenting on different subject matter at some point. But so far, I like what I got, man. I like what I got out of this dude. Really entertaining, really funny album. Very nice hooks too. I like the hooks on the majority of these tracks. Dope Ain't Good. I ain't even talk about Dope Ain't Good, but yeah, man, yeah. He adds a comedic element to selling drugs to the community, and you know, I kind of appreciate that fresh perspective.
Yeah,
I appreciate his flow, his one-liners, the way he rides certain beats, balls. And yeah, I gotta go 8.5 out of 10, man. I gotta go 8.5 out of 10. You didn't listen to the whole thing yet, Spook. So I don't know. Did you want to score it just yet or no?
I mean, the first 7 tracks I listened to, I was gonna give it like an 8 out of 10 because I had so much fun listening to it. Like, it wasn't like a chore to listen to. It had me laughing. Like, it was one of those things that it almost had me thinking, like, man, I really need to listen to more humorous like hip hop, because I mean, this definitely wasn't what I was listening to before. I mean, I wasn't even listening to hip hop for a little bit before I listened to these two. So, but yeah, I mean, out of what I heard, I would give it like a 7.5 or 8 out of 10. It was just a fun listen that, you know, didn't, you could let your brain kind of go on trips to other places while listening to this, and he'll catch you with the one liner, and you know, and you're laughing, and now you're just like, yeah, this is pretty enjoyable. I mean, but at the same time, I didn't finish it, so you can only take what I say so far.
And there's more of it, even though you didn't get to the end of it. Like, it doesn't change. It's very much more of the same. I think you're going to enjoy the rest of it.
Ooh, that's good to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Favorite five tracks. Do you have any, Jamil?
Yes. I got Let the Young Boys Eat, Waiting in the Lobby, Dope Ain't Good, I Was Talked To, and My Story Got Stories.
You like that one, huh?
Yeah, that was that's the one I thought should have been album closer, actually.
Yeah, that was the raunchy joint, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the raunchy joint. I don't know. Like, I would have bumped that one up closer to the beginning of the album, but that's just me.
That works too.
Is it raunchier than Too Bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty bad.
You said, oh, wow.
Too Bad was bad.
Yeah, it was too bad. But for me, I got Let the Young Boys Eat. I got Dope Boy. I got Dope Ain't Good. I really loved Hurry Up and Buy. And then G's and Hustlers with Stretch Money. And honorable mention of Crack Cocaine. I just love that hook.
The hook is crazy.
That hook is just...
And he's not talking about the song. He's just talking about in general. In general, honorable mention of Crack Cocaine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It took me a second to catch it. I was like, oh,
me too.
That's a shot. He got him.
Me too. Oh, man.
I mean, you know, it put a lot of people through college.
Hey, it started a lot of rap careers, too.
Didn't it?
That, too. Yeah, yeah. Any standouts for you, Nick, so far?
Looney Tunes was the standout to me. I wish I could fully remember the lyrics that stood out to me. I think, is that the one that had the Triceratops line?
I think that was My Story Got Stories, the title track.
No, I didn't get to that part. Yeah, I didn't get that far. But I remember, like, hearing the Triceratops line, and I almost stopped my car. Like, I'm just like, are you serious right now?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say was an enjoyable album for all of us. Like, Jamil's going 7.5 out of 10. Nick's going 8. I'm going 8.5. Like, I can't stop listening to this. I'm gonna be listening to this later on tonight, probably. It's got replay value too. So check out this album, man. Check out this album. But be forewarned, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. It's dude's flow is definitely different. And but if you lock in, I think you will find this to be a very rewarding listen. But yeah, man, there you have it. Real quick before we end this review, give me an album y'all been bumping lately.
Don't laugh at me, but I was bumping on Sade Lovers Rock.
Oh man, that's...
Hey, that's never a bad choice.
No,
that's a classic right there.
Yes, it is. It's just very very different than the album we have just reviewed.
Yes, it is.
Yes, same as what I've been bumping is very different than this album.
What you been bumping, Nick?
Shoot, I so on the Merce podcast, he mentioned a track by Red Hot Chili Peppers called Porcelain, and I was like, that's a really dope song. And then I was like, well, I just want to listen to the Californication album because I don't remember ever listening to it. And in the process, I realized I had heard it before, but really only the first half of the album. Back when I was younger, I used to roll with this white boy back in the day. That was my homie.
That's not a metaphor for selling crack, is it?
No, it's not. It's not.
Selling heroin is what that is.
Yeah, white boy is heroin. Yeah. Oh, man. Shout out, Tommy. Miss you, bro. Come back to the meetings. Anyway, so I used to roll around with him, and he was like a heavy rock listener. And And so I remember hearing this album, like hearing the first half of this album probably like 300 times. So when I finally listened to it, it's like, oh, I have heard this before. And for some reason, it just took me like, I just was like, well, let's keep it going. Then I was listening to Pearl Jam for a little bit. And then I was like, you know what I've never heard is the Nirvana Nevermind album. So I started listening to that.
That's so a classic, listening bro. To
that.
Yeah, man.
And then I'm like, okay, this has joints, but it's not the joints that I remember. So then I went to In Utero. And so I was just like, I was not on no hip hop stuff for like the last week and a half.
Nice. What's up? Okay. All right. Me, myself, I was also bumping, in addition to the album Face Off we got coming up this week, I was also bumping a new album from Crime Apple and Preservation entitled El Leon. Very, very dope album. I'm kind of late to the Crime Apple party. Like, I just, something about dude never really appealed to me, but I was like, okay, I'll go ahead and get his album a shot. And boy, oh boy, I'm glad I did. He's a dope rapper, man. He's lyrical. He's got a good ear for production. Preservation laced him on this, you know. And I hadn't really heard anything from Preservation since Billy Woods' Ethiopies album. So I was like, I'll go ahead and get this a listen. And I'm so glad I did. So El Leon, check it out. All right. That will conclude this review. Stay tuned. We got another one coming up. So I'll see y'all soon.